The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika sports leader. So you wouldn't even know that Jacob Goins was not in studio this afternoon. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 13th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I am Christian Griffin, I guess the beam man for Mr. Jacob Goins here this afternoon. I promise you will end up hearing from him this afternoon. He's going to fill in. He did not want to miss this show this afternoon. A whole lot of Auburn news dropping, a whole lot of SEC news dropping, and we need his official picks as well. So we will definitely get to Jacob this afternoon. I broke the huddle this afternoon, the Auburn Network huddle, if you will, and the defense, as soon as the 15-second play clock went down, they switched coverages on me. And again, we're under the 15 seconds, so I don't have anybody in my headset right now. And the defense is switching everything. We're hoping all this training has given me enough to be successful, as we are without Uncle T-Bone and, again, without Jacob Goins in the station here this afternoon, as he is just about to hit the road and make that the very fun three-hour trip up to Enterprise as the Auburn High Tigers take on Enterprise tonight at 7 o'clock. There's a show breakdown coming up for you. Again, Jacob will be on the call for the first hour here in just a few moments. Got a lot of Auburn news to talk about, a lot of SEC things going on. We'll talk some high school football as the Lee Scott Warriors and the Beulah Bobcats are at, or Lee Scott is at home taking on Beulah, and then Auburn High on the road at Enterprise. Hour number two, we'll talk all around the SEC and the college football landscape. We'll make our predictions for some of the biggest games this weekend. It doesn't look like too big of a slate with a wide view, but as soon as you really take a look at some of those games, there's some really, really important ones and some teams that really, really need to get a win. And it's crazy to say that they need a win, and it's only week three of the college football season. We'll also have a special guest picker for our number two as well. But the best way to get started on your Fridays, you got to get some of the best lines and the odds in college football. There is no better man to get the Friday afternoon started than Mr. Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports. Lee, how you doing this afternoon, man? Great to hear from you once again.
Oh, thanks. A little tough. I'm a Dolphins fan, so tough taking what we saw last night with Tua, and looks like he's going to be out a long time, and could be. This could be a career. They might have to go full rebuild.
There's a bunch of guys saying that he needs to take care of himself and his family again. Yep. What is this, concussion number three or concussion number four? As he tried to pick up a fourth down
spot. It's at least three, and if it's four, I mean, it wasn't even a hard hit, Christian. I mean,
it wasn't.
No, I mean, I probably had 80-100 harder hits than that. So. I mean, just crazy what we used to do back in the day. My brother and I, he was a year younger. I was a quarterback. He was a running back. We used to go in a 10-by-10 grass area in front of our house in pads after practice and do Oklahoma drills.
Yeah. And just wear each other down. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, can't do that anymore.
Grass stains, that just means whoever has more of them just means that you came out on top.
Right.
Looking ahead to some of these picks that you have this coming week, I'll officially apologize on behalf of all the Auburn fans. I know that you really took Auburn on that side of things. You have them once again, but we'll look at them a little bit later. The first one, Missouri and Boston College. Missouri, you correct me if I'm wrong, has yet to give up a point on the defensive side of the football. Who do you like in that matchup?
Yeah, and I love the nickname. Did you see the nickname of the team?
I have not.
Oh, they call themselves the Death Row Defense. So I haven't heard that one yet.
I haven't
either. But thought that was kind of fun. And they're going to be up to it. They're going to have to face a really good offense here for Boston College under the radar. Good quarterback, dual threat quarterback in Thomas Castellanos. And they've already been on the road. They've already played at Florida State, which is very helpful, you know, going to a tough SEC opponent who's talented. But on top of that, they've got Bill O'Brien, their head coach and play caller. Mm-hmm. So I think their game plan for this game is they don't want to have 14, 15 possessions. They don't want to throw it all over the hill and, you know, get sloppy with it. I think they want to shorten the game, run as much as possible. And if they can shorten this game to 8 or 9 possessions, I think they feel they've got a shot here, because is Missouri really going to score 3 more touchdowns than them in 8 or 9 possessions? Probably not. Missouri is talented on offense. I mean, they have weapons all across the board at receiver. They've got a couple running backs are emerging. Looks like possibly their receiver, Luther Burden Jr., he is probably going to end up being a top 10 pick. Brady Cook has come on here as a senior. So they are a dangerous team playing at home, but I'm going to go with a value here. I'm going to take Boston College. I'm going to say Missouri wins 34-24, but I think 17 points might just be a little bit too much.
Right, yeah, and Thomas Castellanos and that Boston College offense, we watched them against Florida State. And what was it? Florida State ran 3 plays in the first quarter, and, I mean, just – Boston College drove down the field, so they're definitely going to try, as you mentioned, to shorten that game. I like that pick as well. Moving on, College game day, a questionable College game day, but when you dive into the deeper side of things with how South Carolina dominated Kentucky this past week, LSU and South Carolina, can Williams-Bryce play a little bit of magic in this one?
Oh, I think so. You know, it's a tough place to play. I think this team is coached well. They just looked awful the first week.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that happens. This is a good defensive squad here. Obviously, the quarterback Sellers, not 100%. He's not, you know, a superstar, but they'll probably play Robbie Ashford some here. And I just think that they're going to play ball control and try to look for the short field here. And, you know, if they're able to do that, then, you know, they've got a chance to keep this game close. LSU's defensive front, every year you hear about how great they are, but you look at their numbers and the way they control the game, it just doesn't seem to equate. I think LSU might be able to escape 24-21, but I'm going to take South Carolina, and with maybe the better defense at home, I could see this game going either way. I think the 7 points in the Gamecocks is probably the right way to approach this game.
It's supposed to be a massive storm there at Williams-Brice as well, and with how well LSU throws the football, You'd think the weather would give South Carolina an edge as well. As you mentioned, LSU at a touchdown favorite right now on the road, traveling to Columbia, South Carolina. Georgia and Kentucky, this was the other coin flip game for College game day, depending on how that Kentucky-South Carolina game went. Is there any way in Lexington they find a way to keep it close with the Dogs?
So here's the thing about this game. You've got a couple different subplots. I think Brock Vandergrift, by playing at home in this game, should be able to possibly play a little bit better.
Yeah.
He knows the defense of Georgia. He knows the talent. They are really good, but there's no way they can be as bad as last week. They were horrendous. They looked pretty good the first week. So Georgia's just one of these teams. When they're favored by a touchdown or more, they usually are horrible. They play terrible. They're lucky to win. They hold on. They used to go to the Wildcat the last couple of years and just try to the last 7-8 minutes of the game. I have a feeling that they're going to play hard. And, yeah, Georgia just stomped all over them last year, 51-13. But the 4 previous games that these two teams played, Kentucky covered every game. In fact, 2 of the 4, they held them to 13 and 16 points. Kentucky is 15-11-1 as an underdog the last 27 games. I'm going to go with value here also. You know, Georgia beat Clemson 34-3. Clemson had a bunch of chances in the first half of that game to score.
They did.
If that's a 7-10 point game here, this line would be like 15, 16 points. This line is almost out of the stratosphere. Georgia wins 38-17. Kentucky covers.
How much of a difference does it make with what you do? How much attention do you pay on a spot that Brock Vandegrift is in. Again, a guy that went to Georgia, was committed to Georgia, spent a year at Georgia, and then transferred out. How much emotion do you play into that, knowing that Vandegrift is going to do everything he can to upset him?
I think you got to play into it. Also, I talked one time to a Kentucky kid who played for Mark Stoops, and I said, what is it? You know, I see sometimes you guys may not win them all, but you do play really hard as an underdog. And he said, yeah. He just said that, you know, they are just a different intensity. And coaches coach that way. There are certain coaches, like Nick Saban, when he was playing against a former coach, or he was a 35, 40-point favorite. You know, he's all about teaching and getting better, progressing. But Mark Stoops, I think he recruits that way, and also, you know, he's able to, you know, really, really able to get his kids to play at a higher level. Because a lot of these kids, you know, they do have a chip on their shoulder that they weren't recruited by Alabama, weren't recruited by LSU, or weren't recruited by Georgia.
I like it. Christian Griffin talking with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, going over some of these lines and some of the betting odds. We saw Texas go up north and manhandle, do whatever they wanted to Michigan in the Big House. Another similar story, Alabama going up north to Madison to take on the Wisconsin Badgers. What do you like in this one? Does Bama find a way to run away with it, or does Wisconsin keep it close?
Yeah, so... I was studying Wisconsin. I'm like, what are they trying to do here since Luke Fickell took over? So he hired Phil Longo from North Carolina. And I think that they were looking to have balance in their offense. They were too much of a running team. They brought in Tanner Mordecai, who the year before was at SMU, threw for 35 touchdowns. Last year, he only threw for 9. This year they bring in Tyler Van Dyke from Miami, who I know well. They were only able to throw for 192 and 214 yards against Western Michigan and South Dakota.
Yeah.
And one touchdown, that's it, one in two games. So to beat Alabama or keep the game close, you got to put some stress on them. And they just don't have the quarterback or the receivers. Their receivers get no separation at all. I mean, Alabama has two young cornerbacks. If you had a good passing game, you could really, I think, do some damage on that defense. They just don't have it, and they also lost their top running back, Braylon Allen. He moved on to the NFL. Bama's not going to fumble the ball 3 times like last week. I know the crowd, kids will be jumping around. You know, it's good weather. But with Alabama, just too much talent here. I think they pull away late, 35-13.
And finally, I know you said you're a Miami guy, but we always appreciate you for throwing the Auburn lines in there. Auburn taking on New Mexico, not New Mexico State, everybody.
Yeah.
A sigh of relief you can hear throughout all of Auburn, Alabama. I guess we can officially break the news for anybody that hasn't heard it, as it looks like Hank Brown will now be the guy going for that Auburn offense. Does this change anything with your pick with Auburn?
You know, maybe not that much. You know, New Mexico, really good head coach. I love what they do, you know, as far as philosophy. So sometimes you got to look at the coach and how they approach these games. And, you know, this is a team that, you know, they're building. It's going to take them a little bit of time here. But they have a good head coach in Bronco Mendenhall. A little bit different defense than you normally face with the 3-3-5 schemes. Their offense, actually, they've scored. You know, the first game they scored early and often, just couldn't stop anyone. So they're going to come to play here. 28.5 points is a lot for a team with, you know, the offense hasn't really been executing. So I think Auburn will win the game here. I think they should win something like 45, I'll say to 20, but 28.5 points. Might be a little too much.
It's a little bit of a weird game when you're looking at the lines, because New Mexico is statistically one of the worst pass defenses in the country, and then going up against an Auburn offense that you thought figured it out, and then all of a sudden Cal brought a little bit of reality back to that program as well. So trying to figure everything out in that one. Talking with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Plug everything you got. I know you got something on there as well, a free play for anybody that likes to call in.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to give away a free play here on a game, Texas A&M and Florida.
Ooh.
Both teams need a win desperately. A&M did beat, you know, a lower-level team last week, but Florida Florida, same thing against, you know, Division I opponents. They were not successful opening week. So we're going to find out if Texas A&M can win the first road game in the SEC the last 5 years, or can Florida, you know, can they come back after having trouble against Miami? So first five callers get it for free, 800-400-9741. First five callers get Texas A&M and Florida on me, 800-400-9741. If they want to hop on board, now's the time. We're 15-9 on the season. You can get what we call our underdog shocker best bet. We've got probably 9-10 games overall from Saturday morning all the way through Monday night. It's our phone service where we rate the games from 10 to 50 units. So 3 weeks, $397, or the entire season, $1,397. And we also have a USC card going on Saturday night. Six selections on a pay-per-view card coming from the Sphere, first time they've ever fought there. So Sugar Sean O'Malley headlines the card. Six selections for the UFC, $57. Everything's up and available, ParamountSports.com.
The best in the business. Mr. Lee Sterling, always great to hear from you. Thank you so much for your time.
You have a great weekend. Take care.
You as well. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, again, with the free play of Texas A&M and Florida. One of those games that you feel like you could see somebody come out with a win, but it could really feel like one team just lost it over another one. It could be an ugly game in Gainesville, Florida, using the two-quarterback scheme. We don't know anything about that, though, here in Auburn, Alabama. We'll get to our first break here in hour number one. When we come back, we'll talk to Mr. Goins. I feel like it had been too long since the airwaves have heard him, just under 24 hours. So you gotta hear from him again. We got some Auburn news to break if you haven't heard of it already. All of that. We'll talk some high school sports as well when we come back on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Friday edition of On the Line, and a man that you never hear too much of on the radio waves. He couldn't join us in studio, but, man, I guess that first segment was just awful, and he felt like he had to come back in and save his show. Mr. Goins, you got to be about 20, 25 minutes down into your lovely drive down to Enterprise by now, right?
Not necessarily. You know how I am. I got to make a traditional stop at a local convenience store, pick up a couple of waters and energy drinks. Can't give any free pub out there. But, you know, I got to stop and get ready to go before Jack Hutton, Rob Payton, and I hit the road heading down to Enterprise today.
Did you flip a coin? Did Jack get the passenger seat, or did he get the driver's seat here this afternoon?
He's in the passenger seat. He was able to knock off a few hours early from work, but he's going to catch up on that work on the way down. So
okay.
We're always working here, Christian. We never take any days or even a couple of hours off. You know that.
Well, I'm starting to learn it, but thankfully there's no new Auburn news or anything to talk about. So thankfully we don't have to worry about anything on the news side of things, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, I'd hate for you to have to sit in there and do a show today where all you talk about is the possibility of a new quarterback starting for Auburn tomorrow against New Mexico, and how most people have seen the report by now from Justin Hokanson that Hank Brown is slated to start against New Mexico tomorrow. Does that mean he will? Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see, but that seems to be the feeling on the plains, is that Hank Brown is the man tomorrow night at 6:30.
How big is that word, slated? You've seen all of these reports now, regardless of the website name. Every single one of them chooses to continue to use that word. So it feels like it's one of those situations, especially with Auburn, until you see somebody run out to take the first snap, you never really truly believe anything that the media says.
And that's nothing against media or anybody that is, you know, doing their job, but it's one of those things where until it either comes out of the mouth of head coach Hugh Freeze or we see it with our own eyes, I just have a really hard time believing it. And, you know, there's a really good chance that, yeah, Hank Brown probably is going to start tomorrow if this is the news that is creeping out of the camp of Auburn. But, look, this isn't a statement by Auburn. This wasn't a release by Hugh Freeze. This was information that was leaked out of the university, of the Auburn football building. And it was tweeted out by local media. So until I see it, I can't fully run with it or believe it, but yeah, there's probably a good chance that it's true. There's probably somebody in there that let it slip out on accident or just happened to send a text or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I think Auburn fans, if that does come to fruition, then they're going to get what they've asked for all week, and they'll see Hank Brown tomorrow night.
It feels weird. I'm on the other side of the spectrum now. I'm the one getting to ask you the questions. It feels kind of cool. It's a little bit weird, but I kind of dig everything that's going on right now. If you're Auburn, if you're Hugh Freeze, and that wasn't the plan, and that is something that was just rumored or speculated, but your job or your plan was still to go out and start Peyton Thorne, do you feel like you now have your hands tied behind your back, or do you feel like your job is to still go out there and make the decision on who you think is going to operate the game the most accurately and who, you know, most represent the offense the best way, and you'll just live with whatever consequence the fan base and the national media has to say?
I mean, if you're Hugh Freeze or if you're any coach at any sport at any level, I mean, you make decisions based off of what's best for your team. You're not making a decision because somebody tweeted out that you may start somebody over someone else. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I promise Hugh Freeze is not worried about what beat writers have to say and what they think is going to happen. He's going to make a decision that's best for him, his team, and his program, and that may just be Hank Brown. It's what the fans want, there's no doubt, but no, I mean, he'll make the decision off of what he wants to do. And you know what? He could have a decision made right now, and that could change. We're still, what, almost 28 hours away from kickoff? Like, a man can do what he wants to do. He's the one making the money, and he's the one sitting at the head of the table.
Good thing that it's neither of us, that we just get to sit there and talk about it. We don't have to make that decision. And I'm just glad that we're at a point with Auburn football where we have to wait 28 hours to see a full decision with a quarterback spot, right? I mean, that's not – it's not worth any sort of worry or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this show be 3 years in April, and there's been quarterback controversy every year that I've done the show. So this is nothing new. This is nothing for Auburn fans. It's same old, man. There's always something going on with the quarterback situation, and tomorrow's no different.
We talked with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports in the first little break, and he mentioned that regardless of the quarterback spot, Auburn sitting at a 28.5-point favorite. I have not checked to see if that line has changed at all, but he said that he doesn't think that that would sway anything. He still likes Auburn to win, but New Mexico to cover. But he says he thinks and he's hopeful that the Auburn passing game won't have to do as much as they really try to establish that run.
I mean, it gets back to what Hugh Freeze has talked about, right? Limiting the offensive package and making it smaller, making it more simple for whoever it is that's running the offense and at the quarterback spot. And I've said this all week. If you're having to limit it for Peyton Thorne, then that's your answer. I mean, if he wasn't able to run what Hugh Freeze wanted him to run after an entire spring, summer workouts, and fall camp, and now we're two games in and he still couldn't operate it, then he may not be your guy. And then maybe that's the answer that we've all been looking for. And if it's Hank Brown, doesn't that make sense to make it a smaller offensive playbook and a smaller offensive game plan, especially against New Mexico, where you shouldn't have to have an overcomplex game plan? I mean, all of that just starts to fall into place, Christian, and makes more sense to me of, yeah, put the new guy in there, give him a handful of things to know, and let's see if he can execute it. And then if he does, you've got your starter next week for Arkansas.
Just give him the slight little push into the college football world. Give him a small playbook.
Yeah.
Let him feel comfortable in that small operation. Get him completions early and hand the ball off, something that Auburn fans are hanging question marks on, because Jarquez Hunter touched the ball 13 times last game on the ground. Do you expect that to be a much bigger part of the offense, even though New Mexico is listed as one of the worst pass defenses in the country?
I mean, it needs to be more in the game plan every single week. I don't care who the opponent is. New Mexico, Oklahoma, Missouri, or Alabama. Auburn needs to run the football. It's not that hard, right? It seems pretty obvious. A guy that is averaging over 6 yards a carry every time he touches the football, give it to Jarquez Hunter. Give it to 27. It's not that difficult. I think Auburn trapped themselves last week with trying to prove and maybe double down that they could throw the football like they did. But look, don't overthink it. Run the ball, set some ground, and then, yeah, throw it around a little bit. Make Hank Brown, if he is the starter, make his job as easy as possible. If you do that, you're going to be just fine. But there's no reason for Jarquez Hunter or Damari Alston or Jeremiah Cobb or even Malcolm Simmons, the guy that I've been waiting for a jet sweep call to go to, no reason for them not to touch the football 30-plus times tomorrow against New Mexico and against all of their opponents on the upcoming schedule.
When we come back, we'll get to some SEC talk because there were some other news that dropped in the SEC. And we'll talk a little bit of high school football as well as you continue on as we try to hold off the storm here in Auburn, Alabama on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into our number one of the Friday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin here with you alone in the studio this afternoon, but not alone on the phone lines as we continue our conversation with Mr. Jacob Goetz. We just finished up talking a little bit of Auburn quarterback situation. Jacob, I wanted to bring your attention, if you hadn't seen it already. I guess there hasn't ever been anything in the past, so it's the very first time that we've ever brought it up. But another Georgia cornerback was... what's the easiest way to say arrested for reckless driving to make it sound different than it might have sounded in the first time?
No, there's no reason to say it any differently. Georgia had another football player involved in another car incident, another reckless driving incident, and there's no other way to spin it. There's no other way to say it. It's the same thing over and over and over again, and my God, I'm just tired of talking about it, Christian, It's nobody's fault except the players involved and the head coach of the Georgia football program, Kirby Smart. Like, you can't make this up. I thought we had kind of had our last, not our last laugh, because this is no joke by any means, but almost our last chance to kind of put this all to bed the last time we had this. And, I mean, we just had the dude sit out who was suspended for game one from ETN for things like this. We've had so many situations. And I just thought, okay, maybe this is it, right? Kirby came out, he said some things, he was hammered in media days about it, and he had some statements, and they brought in therapists, and they brought in teachers, and whatever they've done, it ain't working, okay? It ain't working. And Athens, Georgia is a major, major problem. I promise you, and I'm not just saying this as a reactionary take, I will not be back to Athens for a very long time if we continue to have athletes driving around crazy-like and risking everybody's life that's there and in the surrounding area. Like, this is just unacceptable. And at what point, I hate to keep saying this, we're trying to rely on the NCAA to step in and do something, but at what point does the AD at Georgia step in and say, this has to stop? This is unacceptable.
And it's crazy, too, to think... Not that it gives any excuse for anything else where it was previously, but that was the offseason. I mean, this is, you're about to go play Kentucky in week three. Like, this is the middle of your football season. It was defensive back Daniel Harris, and looking at it now, it was not just reckless driving. It was five counts. It was one misdemeanor of not wearing a seatbelt, one misdemeanor count of operating an unregistered vehicle without a license plate, a misdemeanor of driving without proof of insurance, a misdemeanor count of having illegally reduced window visibility, and, oh, was driving triple digits.
Triple digits. Goodness. And so you'll have to inform me, and apologies for my lack of knowledge on this. I saw the headlines. I was able to read a hair of it, but not into extreme detail. Was he arrested? Was he booked? All that type of stuff, Christian?
He says, per the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he was traveling 106 miles an hour. He was pulled over, arrested, and he was jailed and then released on bond. And we know what that word means. It's probably a Burger King Whopper and a $5 bill when it comes to Athens.
I mean, does Georgia have, like, their own separate NIL fund for just bailing guys out of jail?
They might as well.
They have something like that because they need it. And you're going to start losing out to five-star DBs and quarterbacks because all the money's going to bail dudes out of jail. Like, this is a serious problem they have right now. And you can't make it up. Like, we're in double digits now of players that have gotten in trouble for the same thing. This is not one dude who got in trouble for stealing and another guy with reckless driving and another guy with murder. Like, no, this is all in the car. Like, I don't know. I'm almost at a loss for words because I went so hard on this just a month or so ago when all of this happened the last time. I thought I'd gotten all my thoughts and feelings out about this, but here we are again. I mean, what is this, September? So let's start taking bets on when the next incident's going to happen. Christian, I'll take October 20th. How about that?
I mean, it's crazy. Harris, he's played in two games so far for Georgia this year. He's made four tackles, three of them solo tackles. He played in six games last year and made a tackle against Florida State in the Orange Bowl. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it the definition of insanity when you continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect something to change?
Should be the definition of stupidity is what it is. I mean, I don't know what word to throw in there. I'm out of words. Out of the whole English dictionary, I'm out of words to describe it. And we already know how it's going to happen. And for us to sit here and you know, get upset about it, and I want to make this clear. I make it clear every time this subject comes up. We're not on this because it's Georgia,
no,
because it's
all.
Our rival, because of the SEC. Like, this is a serious issue. Like, if this is happening at Eastern Carolina or Washington State or wherever, like, this is still a major, major problem that has to be fixed. And what's unfortunate about this, Christian, is we already know how Kirby Smart's going to respond. Oh, we're just disappointed, and yeah, this is not okay, and we're going to make sure he gets the right treatment, and we're going to make sure that he talks to somebody and that it hopefully doesn't happen again. Shut up, Kirby.
Prove
Give
it.
A break.
Like, do something about it.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, prove it. And he won't, because there's no reprimands, right? There's nothing that's happening to his players, to his program, or to him specifically. Somebody's got to be in charge over there, but it's obviously not Kirby Smart, who, yeah, he's got a couple national championships, but what he doesn't have is control of his football program.
And, I mean, at what point do you feel like the college football world has overlooked that? Like, if it's at any other school, you probably hear about it a lot more than you do because it's the University of Georgia. And, again, that's not because we're sitting here in Auburn, Alabama, and they are in Athens, Georgia. It's just a crazy situation that it feels like we report it more than the actual university or the football team does, and it blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, why would they shine light on it? Thankfully, yeah, Georgia is a well-known brand in college football. That's a great point, Christian. Yeah, if this is happening at, I don't know, Memphis or Middle Tennessee or something, like, no, it probably does fly under the radar and doesn't catch national headlines. But you know what? Good. This needs to be highlighted. It needs to be shoved down their throat as much as physically possible until somebody steps up and does something. And look, I'll admit, I don't know how to stop it. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I mean, there's got to be some sort of zero tolerance policy of, if you get arrested, if you get into trouble with the law, you're done. You're off the team. I mean, we if you're Georgia, you've got to be sitting there thinking, man, we've lost lives on this campus, yeah, off this team from stuff like this. But we're just going to continue to let it happen. Oh, don't worry. He didn't play against Clemson. Well, ETN played the very next week, so they obviously weren't too worried about it.
No, they never are. As long as the W's in the column, then it's all, everything is all said and done. Everything is perfectly clear. Your man in the passenger seat is over here sending me little memes of math equations when on the speed limit sign, and he says that's what every speed limit sign looks like in Athens, Georgia right now.
It's about true, yeah. I mean, it's true. And here's what's sad, too. Again, the NCAA is not going to do anything. The SEC is not going to do anything because Georgia makes too much money for them, so mm-hmm. Why the heck would Greg Sankey step in? And that's not really his job, I guess. You would have hoped for Kirby Smart to step up and be a man and take control of his program, but that's obviously not going to happen because we're too worried about winning football games instead of keeping the people of Athens, Georgia safe on the roadways from my own football players. Unbelievable.
And it's crazy, too, going back to it. This is not a direct quote. This is, I mean, I guess summarizing or paraphrasing one of the two, but after the most recent one, which is a crazy topic in itself to have to preface that, but the starting quarterback, Carson Beck, when he was talking about his Lamborghini, was talking like, yeah, that thing goes really fast, and it goes over 100 miles an hour if I want it to, but I don't drive like an idiot. The fact that that is a quote from one of your players and one of the faces of your program. I feel like entices everything. It kind of wraps a little string around everything where you throw everything in one little basket. Just a crazy quote, and the fact of that, that's the reality, it continues to blow my mind.
I mean, when you have your own players who know that their problems exist and they have to clear their own name of not being involved in that part of their team, it's mind-boggling. It really is. And it goes back to the phrase that's as old as time, Christian: winning cures all, right? Winning fixes all. But in this case for Georgia, winning covers all. That's what happens at Athens. You win football games, you can do whatever you want. That's what Georgia's preaching. And I feel bad for the kids. I really, really do, because some of these guys are going to go on and be really successful NFL players, and they're going to get in trouble somehow, some way, find themselves in a situation that they're not supposed to be in, and they're not going to know how to get out of it. And they're going to ruin their careers, and they're going to ruin their lives. And God forbid they take any more lives than they already have with their hands on the steering wheel. And you would hope that a head coach is going to be a father-like figure and a leader and somebody who can teach them how to be an adult, a young adult in this world. But that's not Kirby Smart. Don't worry, though. They'll beat the Cats by 50 tomorrow. Don't you worry about that.
It takes a lot of yarn or a lot of string to throw a blanket over the entire town or city of Athens to you know, just throw everything under the rug where it doesn't matter. As long as you go and take care of business in Lexington, then nothing else really matters. I want to get your official picks. I know you talked a little bit about them yesterday, but I definitely want some of your college football picks as we work around the SEC Football Challenge. But real quick, give us what you know about Enterprise, everything that you're excited for as you're making the drive up there for the very first time to call high school football.
Yeah, Auburn High School on the road at Enterprise. First road game of the year for Auburn High. 3-0 so far this season. All three games were at the Duck. So as much fun as we had staying in Auburn for the first 3 weeks of the year, I guess this time we make a little road trip. We'll pay our dues. I guess that's fine. So we're heading down to Enterprise. Jack Cutton and I, Rob Pate right behind us too. We're all heading down to Enterprise. It's a top five matchup in the state of Alabama. Number
wow.
two, Enterprise. Number four, Auburn. It's big-time stuff, man. These two teams are going to go after it. Auburn trying to overcome what loss they took last year against Enterprise, and now we got to go try and do it here on the road. And, Christian, that's an Enterprise defense. In case you didn't know, Auburn fans are going to know some of these names. They have three guys committed to play Power 4 football. They may have another one as well, but three you're going to know is Purcell, who's committed to play at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You have Eric Winters, who's committed to play at Auburn, and then you have an Ohio State commit on the D-line as a defensive end. So not too bad that Enterprise is throwing out there defensively. They're still going to get it to their playmakers with a dual-threat quarterback as well. Auburn's got the work cut out for them, but this Tiger team can score. They beat Opelika 28-21 last week. Jackson Kilgore making really good decisions. And, of course, the human bowling ball himself, Omar Mapson. So should be a really good game, man. I expect a huge crowd down here tonight, knocking on wood that the weather holds off. And, yeah, it's going to be a really good game between the Wildcats and the Tigers.
Looks like you might hopefully get a little bit better weather than we're going to get here in Auburn. It almost looked like it flipped when we were looking at our schedules not too long ago. Thunderstorms and rain sitting around 45-50% all throughout the night here. And with Lee Scott playing at home, really hoping that stays away. How much of an impact does the loss with Enterprise last year come into play tonight as you're wanting to steal one at their place? And then the rankings as well. Does Auburn, talking with Coach Etheridge or anything, do they feel disrespected by sitting at fourth in the state?
I mean, they probably do, but Etheridge is—he's a pro, and this team acts like that as well. And they don't get hung up on that sort of stuff. You can't in this region because there's so many good teams. Even if you beat one of them, right? Even if Auburn—I mean, heck, Auburn beat Opelika last week. That's a huge win
yeah.
in this region because Opelika is a really good football team. I think they're a playoff talented type of team, but they may not make the playoffs because of how tough this region is. So
wow.
if you start getting hung up in the rankings and the numbers and the records and things like that, you're going to get tripped up and you're going to get flat out beat against the Enterprises and the Carmen Montgomerys and the Central Phoenix Cities and Ora Dothan or anything like that. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in this region. So I don't think Auburn's too hung up on that. I think they're more focused on playing clean football, playing professional football, and trying to get in and out of Enterprise with a W tonight.
We talk all about it in the world of college football, that it's an any given Saturday mentality that you have. We experienced it here this past week in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Auburn looking to go and handle business at Enterprise on an any given Friday, if you will. That mindset changed in a little bit, but Auburn trying to take care of business on the road. When we come back, we'll get Jacob's final thoughts and predictions for a slate that doesn't necessarily look too great. Not necessarily a grill out or a cookout big slate on the world of college football, but when you dive deeper into it, you get a lot of intense games and a lot of teams really needing a win. A weird thing to say in week three, but that's just kind of the reality of it now with the 12-team college football playoff. Don't go anywhere. Hour number one wraps up when we continue on the Line.
You are on the Line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin with you solo in the studio this afternoon, but Jacob Goins is joining us on the phone lines, and we'll conclude hour number one with Jacob. I don't know if you've seen it quite yet, but you know Alabama has the link saying, well, Auburn is now full on the message of, yeah, well, we have a Hank. And I don't know if Auburn's going to run with that or if you're going to run with that, but I like it.
I mean, I'm not surprised that Auburn fans found a way to make some fun type of phrase out of it. And yeah, we saw the news earlier today. I guess the report, I'm not going to call it news until it happens, but we did see the report that Hank Brown is slated to start tomorrow against Auburn. And if that does come to fruition, Auburn fans got their wish, and that's what they wanted. They've been asking for it since Saturday afternoon last week when Auburn was getting beat by Cal. And so if that does end up happening, I'm really excited for Hank Brown. I am. I'm excited for him, who we all know played a good half in the bowl game against Maryland, and there's been people calling for him since that day. I mean, there's been people that wanted him to start since he did that against them. And so, yeah, he is supposedly getting the start tomorrow, and we'll see how it goes. I hope that Auburn is able to go in there with a mindset of, yes, we need to win this game, but we're not just going to do it based off of talent. We're going to go out here and execute and actually win this game and let Hank Brown throw it around a little bit. Give him a couple of runs to start with Jarquez Hunter. Find a couple of those little out routes for him to dump it off to. You see all the things early on in the season to get a quarterback comfortable. So let Hank Brown do that and let the young man sling it a little bit. He's got an arm now, and I'd love to see him do that tomorrow night.
Yeah, you talk with so many coaches, and they talk about the importance of getting a guy in rhythm early in a game, getting them some easy completions, whether it's dump-offs over the middle, the little dig routes on the sidelines, or even just screens, just something that gets their arm working, gets them continue into the flow of the game. So I think you expect to see that if Hank Brown is that guy. A round of applause as well for your journalistic integrity, continuing to use the word reports and slate it. So well done on your side, Mr. Sir. Wanted to get a couple of final thoughts on your college football predictions. And again, I wasn't with you yesterday, so you might have talked a bunch about them, but I'm just going to kind of rapid fire with you. Does sure. Williams-Bryce, do they find a way to keep it within a touchdown over at or against LSU?
You know, this game is it's interesting because this is where College Game Day is.
Yeah.
Of all the places, they went to South Carolina. Haven't been there in a decade, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, because South Carolina kind of surprised everybody last week when they beat down Kentucky after they almost lost to with an Old Dominion in week
yes,
one,
sir.
And they almost got beat by, and so yeah, I forgot you're a Monarch guy. I don't know. I just don't think so. I think it'll be a good game. I'll take LSU to win, but if I had to take a spread, I guess South Carolina, just to make it a little bit more fun. But I think LSU wins this game going away.
LSU again. I talked about it. I've kind of prefaced it where there's a couple teams that have to win. LSU is on that cusp where they have to win tomorrow,
yeah.
And it's a really weird thought, just considering you saw how they looked, I guess, 3.5 quarters against USC, but sitting at 1-1 right now, if you go 1-2, you can kind of throw the chances away. LSU is the only team in the SEC without a rushing touchdown as well, and that game's supposed to get pretty sloppy with some rain, so I think the weather favors South Carolina a little bit more, but again, I agree with you. I feel like LSU, with their mindset of having to find a way to win, they'll come out on top. We saw Texas travel up north, and they took care of business, got rid of the SEC bias of they don't ever go up north and play in the cold. I guess it wasn't too cold in Ann Arbor, but still found a way to get it done. Alabama travels to Madison, Wisconsin. Do the Badgers find a way to keep this one close, or like a majority of people are saying, does Alabama run away with it?
I think Alabama runs away with it, but what's the spread at right now?
I believe it is 16.
That's such a weird number. Like, is
it's
Alabama
one of those numbers to where it's like, how are you that accurate? Like, how do you
what do you know
about a safety or three weird garbage time field goals or something along that?
Well, the buildings are too nice in Vegas. I always say that. They got a lot of fancy lights on them for a reason. So, look, is Alabama 16 points better than Wisconsin? Yes, they're like 40 points better than Wisconsin, talent-wise. Just depends on whether they play that way or not. If they play the way they did last week against South Florida for the first three quarters, Wisconsin can win this football game. But if Alabama comes out and plays like they did in the fourth quarter, they're going to beat Wisconsin and the fans will go home at halftime. Like, it doesn't – I don't think there's anything – in between. I'm going to bet on the, or I guess I'm going to pick the team that has the most talent, that I think has a really, really good head coach. Even though I love Luke Fickell, I'm going to take Alabama, and I am not taking the point. I'm going to have Wisconsin keep it close within the 16-point spread, but Bama will win this football game.
Jacob, need you to stick around for just a little bit longer. I got a couple other games I got to ask for you, but we got to get to our top of the hour break. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two continues on the line when we come back.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. I got to get him back on the phone lines. We got to hear how he thought about that. Jacob, how was that? Did that sound quite like you?
No, nobody sounds quite like me, but you did really well. Yeah, I mean, you're close. I mean, you're on it. You got to find your own little flair, though. You'll get there, though. And quit telling everybody you're there by yourself, alone in the dark. I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, you got a window in there.
We do. There is a window, and we just had our special guest walk in and turn on the lights a little bit, so we got a little bit more light coming in now. A reminder that each and every episode of hour number two is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. And a reminder, if you missed any of hour number one, we got to talk with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. He got to talk, or got us going with some of the betting lines, some of his predictions. Make sure to hit him up on his website, Paramount Sports, and make sure to give him a call as well for the free play of Texas A&M and Florida. A really good game coming up on Saturday. But we continue now with our number two. And Jacob, I know we hit a couple of them before the break, but want a final couple of selections for you. Let's hit that Texas A&M Florida game. What are your thoughts? I brought it up initially saying that it's a game where one team might have a W by their name, but it feels just as likely that it feels like one team is more so to lose the game rather than to win it.
Yeah, talking with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC yesterday, he's our weekly guest on Thursdays, I asked him the question. I said, Chris, unfortunately, somebody has to win this game. And that's kind of how it feels, because it's two teams that disappointed out of the gate. One was expected with Florida. The other one we just had no idea with Texas A&M. And they had a chance to beat Notre Dame, and they couldn't do it. And then, of course, Notre Dame turns around and loses to Northern Illinois or Northern Iowa or whoever it was. So, Texas A&M is just, I don't know. I still don't know what they are. I know that Wegman did not impress in his performances so far, and A&M doesn't look like they have nearly the talent that they have in the past. Florida has a little bit of talent. Now they've got a quarterback change because of an injury. It was a concussion, and now Lagway, the superstar freshman, is in there. So maybe just a little bit of life kind of pumped back into the program there in Gainesville. I'll take Florida. I can't believe I'm doing it, but I'll take Florida just because they're at home. I think the Swamp has been a mediocre place to play as of late because Florida hasn't put good product on the field. Sounds like somebody else we talk about quite a bit.
I was about to say the exact same thing.
I'll take Florida. I don't like it, though, but I'll take Florida.
It's weird because I agree with you, and for all of those reasons, I do believe that Napier said they are going with a two-quarterback system. So Mertz and Lagway will both play, and being Auburn fans and covering Auburn, we know that that just leads to numerous amounts of success. They'll never see any failure. Both quarterbacks will stay in a rhythm the entire game. So I don't think there's anything to worry about. Because of the two quarterbacks, you might as well go Florida by three or four touchdowns. UAB, Arkansas, any question with that one? I think we're both Arkansas pretty heavily. Is that one?
Yeah, I mean, UAB, I think they're going to struggle a little bit this year. I'll take Arkansas. Maybe they, if they catch fire this week and they build a lot of confidence, and if Auburn doesn't look sharp tomorrow, watch out for the Hogs to come to Jordan Hare next week.
Boston College and Missouri, a little bit of a weird game. We watched Boston College earlier in the season travel to Florida State and just absolutely ate the clock, dominated the time of possession. Florida State ran three plays and had the ball for 57 seconds in that first quarter. I think they try to do the same thing up in Columbia, Missouri. Do you think that they can, or do you think that Missouri offense is just too much?
Yeah, I think Boston College is going to try and play their best defense with their offense, as you were talking about, to keep Missouri off the field. I don't think they can do it for an entire four quarters. I think they'll try, but Missouri, we know how quickly they can score. It takes 175-yard bomb to Luther Burden, and it's over. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yep.
That's exactly how Missouri wants to operate. I think they'll do that early. I think they'll do it often. I'm going to take Missouri. I think they'll pull away from this. Nothing against Boston College. They just don't have the horses to keep up with Missouri offensively, and I'll take the Tigers, especially being in Como.
Lee Sterling talked about it, the nickname that the Missouri defense has given themselves. It started with the 1995 Miami Dolphins, but they call themselves the Death Row Defense. And that's a pretty big name to give yourself, but that being said, you haven't given up a point on the scoreboard yet. Nothing but goose eggs. So I guess for now, you can live by that nickname.
Yeah, that's never really been Missouri's strong suit defense. So I guess they're going to have to back it up. And I'm sure it'll look good this weekend because Boston College doesn't do a whole lot. I do like that quarterback they have up there, though. So I don't know. Keep your eye on him.
Yeah, Thomas Castellanos, a nice little dual threat guy. Does Ole Miss go into Wake Forest, or does Wake Forest find a way to keep it close at home?
I'll keep it short and sweet. Rebels by a million.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think we could say the same thing for Texas and UTSA. Seeing if there's any other ones. The Tulane and Oklahoma game, that draws a little eyebrow raise as well because Oklahoma hasn't necessarily cakewalked their cakewalk so far yet this season, have struggled offensively in both contests. The Green Wave, what a mascot. Do they find a way to keep it close in Norman?
Oklahoma's got to find a way to look good for the first time this season. And Tulane's no joke. We all know that. Tulane's a serious program, and we've seen teams go down to Tulane for whatever reason. Teams will eventually learn to quit doing that. But I think Oklahoma gets it turned around. Tulane will give them a fight. They'll give them everything they want. But I think Oklahoma will get it done, and then they're going to have to figure it out. You'll have to let me know. I don't know who they play next week. I can't quite remember in between this game and who they play before Auburn. But they're going to have to figure some things out because they have not looked smooth at all.
They welcome the Tennessee Volunteers next
week.
That's right.
They better figure it out quick. If Nico comes in there, he's going to light them up.
That could be a big time game. It could be a welcome to the SEC moment if they don't figure everything out. A game a little bit under the radar, not on the SEC football challenge, but a game tonight, one that you could probably, after you tune into Wings 94.3 and 100.3 FM, you can catch the second half of Arizona and Kansas State. Any prediction with that? I know that McMillan, you could say, is one of the best, if not the best, receivers in the college game right now. I believe Kansas State is favored at home by a 7.5-point line. Do you touch that at all, or what do you think with that one?
Yeah, what a weird game this is on a Friday night. And this is top 25, correct me if I'm wrong on that, right? Top 25.
It is.
Matchup here with these two teams. And a lot of offense, not a lot of defense, and could get ugly on either side. So, look, Arizona is a team that let New Mexico come in and put almost 40 points on them. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep that in mind. And then the Wildcats for Kansas City. This is Wildcats and Wildcats, right?
It is.
Ah, how about that? I'll take the Wildcats then. How about that?
Professionalism.
No, that's a Steve Witten joke. He'll get that in, I'm sure, at some point. I'll take Kansas State at home, but it's 50-50.
Good thing Steve's not listening right now. That's the good thing.
Yeah,
right?
Luckily he's not. I'd hate for my boss to be listening to that and me make fun of him on the radio.
Hey, I am listening. Your remark resembles me. I don't like that.
I guess that spoils who the guest picker is, but I was still thinking he was walking into game day getting off the private jet or something.
Oh, did you think it was going to be The Rock?
I didn't know who it was going to be, but
I guess we
found about it now. Jacob, what about Oregon and Oregon State? Another really weird game. Oregon has struggled mightily on the offensive side of the football. They've played, I guess, the entire state of Idaho, playing Idaho and then Boise State. And it took a walk-off field goal for the Ducks to come out alive against a heavy rushing attack in Boise State. Oregon has all of the pieces. Do they figure it out this weekend against the rival, the Beavers?
I keep being told that Oregon is an offensive line away from being the best team in the Big Ten. They've just got to figure that out. I think they have the weapons offensively. They're good enough defensively. But if they don't figure out their offensive line struggles, they are going to struggle, and it may not be against Oregon State this weekend. I'll take the Ducks, but they're going to have to play Ohio State in a few weeks, and that defensive line in Columbus is going to eat against Oregon's offense if they don't figure it out. So maybe this is the week they do it. I'll take Oregon against Oregon State.
Oregon has the benefit of the doubt, to be completely honest with you. You hear about a bunch of teams having a front-loaded lineup, or a schedule rather. Oregon, it's back-loaded a little bit. You don't face Ohio State until October 12th. You don't play Michigan until November 2nd. You don't have to make the trip up to Madison, Wisconsin until the 16th of November. So you have a couple of weeks to figure everything out, thankfully for them. I agree with you, though, Oregon. Just the bigger team, they got the horses with Dylan Gabriel leading that offense. Finally, your thoughts on tomorrow night's action. As slated, it is reported that Hank Brown will be the guy under center, or I guess in the shotgun, more so with the Hugh Freeze offense, but will be the guy taking the majority of the snaps against New Mexico. What do you like? What scares you? And what are your final thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I'm excited to hear you guys talk about it the rest of the way here in this second hour of the show. But Hank Brown, if he does eventually get the start tomorrow night, I said it earlier, I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him. I'm excited to see what he does. And I'm also going to be looking at what the game plan is for Auburn offensively. Do they limit the offensive package, right? That's what Hugh Freeze and people had a field day on that this week. I look for Auburn to just play clean football. Let's not turn it over. Let's go in and execute. And if good things happen, we cannot let ourselves get overhyped, overreact after beating New Mexico. If Auburn wins, I said yesterday, they still have to focus on winning the game.
Yes.
Freeze told us they're not talented enough to play bad and win. They're not talented enough to expect a win against anybody right now. So Auburn has to take care of business. That defense better be ready to play and be better to run because New Mexico can hang some points on people. But I'm going to take Auburn. I think they win. I think they cover the 28, 28 and a half, whatever it is. And hopefully Hank Brown looks really good. And hopefully he looks so good that maybe Holden gets in there or Walker White or whoever they decide they want to put in after him in the second half, fourth quarter type of thing, and get a couple of more quarterbacks some reps.
I love it, Jacob. Well, we appreciate your time as well. I say that as if you're not on the airwaves every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4, but even on the way to Enterprise. Plug everything. Plug what you have tonight to where everybody can tune in and listen to the Auburn High Tigers take on Enterprise.
Yep, Tigers and Wildcats down at Enterprise. First road game for Auburn High School. Fans can tune in. Pregame starts at 6:30, kickoff at 7 on the home of the Auburn High Sports Network. Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Be sure you have that Radio Alabama app downloaded, because you can bounce back and forth between Auburn High on Wings 94.3, and you can also listen to Lee Scott Academy on AU100, and you'll have Wings 94.3 for tomorrow with Game Day on Wings. Then the Tiger Tailgate Show with the Auburn Sports Network and kickoff of Auburn and New Mexico. That's on Wings tomorrow, so get the Radio Alabama app. But for Auburn High football tonight, Wings 94.3 and wingsfm.com.
Man, you even got to plug me in there a little bit. I love it. I love it. Well, tell Jack that I said that we'll get to him next time. I know he was really hoping you'd hand the phone off to him, but tell him that his business and his work is more important than that. But y'all have a great call, man. Good luck and safe travels back here to home.
Yep, appreciate you guys. Hold down the fort. Have a great call tonight. Steve, have a little fun in the studio.
I'm going to try to. Yeah, you cut into my time.
I'm on the phone. I'm not hosting. I'm
I guess all it took was this little button to turn off right
now. No, it's all good. Hey, be safe driving down there, all right?
Yep, will do. Thanks, guys.
And bring back a W.
That was Jacob Goins, host of On the Line and the voice of the Auburn High Tigers. Well, we spoiled the secret of who the celebrity guest picker was. We'll get all of his thoughts from the Mr. Big Boss when we come back, as the Friday edition of On the Line continues after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on with the Friday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the Auburn Network studio. No Uncle T-Bone, but maybe a New York strip or something sitting to the left of me. Big Boss, Mr. Steve Witten, coming in here, filling in for Uncle T-Bone. He had to come let me know that he still knows a little bit about football as well. Happy to have you in here, man. Happy Friday.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate it. Happy Friday to you as well. I appreciate T-Bone, his confidence, handing it over to the New York strip, as you say. So we'll see. Hopefully people enjoy it as much as the T-Bone. We'll find out, right?
We definitely will. Well, we're going to continue on talking about the SEC slate, the college football slate. We'll get into some Auburn football as well. We want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the new Auburn football news or any news around college football? 334-321-1390. Or I guess if you really want to, you could blow up the text box. Jacob Goins is driving, so he might not be able to relay everything to me, but he can answer them in his head, and he'll save them all for Monday, because I'm sure there won't be any questions answered come Saturday night in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Hey, he can hand it to Jack.
There we go.
Jumping Jack Hutton can text us.
He definitely can. Well, I got to start off by first, we haven't talked too much about it since, but I know you're a big Clemson guy. Took a rough one in week one, but absolutely annihilated a really good App State team, 66-20. You take on NC State this weekend. Grayson McCall, so far through the first couple weeks, hasn't necessarily panned out what he thought he would be. What are you liking about this team so far?
Well, yeah, I mean, I obviously that made me feel a whole lot better because, as you said, App State is really good. And actually, Clemson has a bye this week, and then they take on NC State.
Good call. You're right.
And so, you know, we'll see. You know, hopefully they can keep getting better. You know, I really hope that Georgia game was more about how good Georgia is.
I think it is.
Than it is how good Clemson is.
Yeah.
But that definitely was encouraging, because I was a little worried. App State is a very good football team, and they were predicted to finish, you know, top three or four in the Sun Belt, and Sun Belt's a good conference. And so I was concerned. But, yeah, Cade Klubnik actually looked good. He actually threw the ball without thinking about it.
Yeah.
His problem is he thinks about it too much, and by the time he throws it, it's too late.
I feel like we can have a similar topic of conversation here as with what we've seen.
A little bit. Yeah, the way Peyton has looked, yeah. But, you know, I'm hopeful. Obviously NC State didn't look very good against Tennessee,
no.
So I'm hopeful that they can get a W there next week, and then, you know, finish out the rest of the slate. And look here, I mean, even with a loss to Georgia, they're fine, because, you know, you win the ACC, you get an automatic berth in right. the playoffs. And really, if their only loss is to Georgia, and then they lose in the championship game, say to Miami, a two-loss, you know, Clemson team with those two losses, I think would still make the playoffs.
Because more likely than not, both of those other teams would be in as well. You mentioned Klubnik, the way that he threw the ball, 24 of 26, 378, and 5 touchdowns against App State. I guess that's I think that is throwing without thinking.
And he ran for a couple too. So I mean, that's a pretty good half.
Remember,
he only played a half.
Jeez, Clemson put up 35 points. In the first quarter, it was 35-0 at the end of one. And it is. It's a weird game because you're sitting there asking yourself, is Georgia or is Clemson that bad or is Georgia just that good? You ask yourself the same question with Tennessee and NC State the following week. Now you have both of those teams that were on the losing side of things. So now you really get to ask yourself, is Georgia that good or is Tennessee that good based on how this game goes?
That's a great point. I think we'll definitely learn that when we see how NC State plays in these next couple of games. We'll know. But I think Tennessee's pretty dang good. I mean, their defense looked good. Obviously, the quarterback, Nico, can't pronounce that last name.
I was wondering if you
were going to try. No, I'm not going anywhere near it, actually. And so... But Tennessee looked really, really good in that game. So they're better than I expected them to be at this stage. Like, I thought it would take a little while for Nico to settle in. But
yeah, he settled in quickly.
Yeah, he did.
Any Josh Heupel offense where you have that high-powered attack, definitely are going to see some success. Now you're finally seeing that defense that you mentioned come to life. And now they're somewhat emerging as a playoff contender or even a first-round bid, possibly making it to the conference or the National Football Championship. I want your thoughts on College Game Day. A little bit of a weird game. LSU in South Carolina. LSU is currently favored by a tick over a touchdown at 7.5, but it's supposed to monsoon at Williams-Brice Stadium. One of the most underrated atmospheres in college football. I've been there at a really good game, so I can personally say that. And obviously, with you being a Clemson fan, I'm guessing...
I have been there a few times. Yeah,
so how much does that play in a factor with this pick, with you being a good old Clemson Tiger?
Full disclosure, obviously I hate South Carolina. I do, like with a passion, okay? But the 11 a.m. kick is always to the visitor's advantage.
Yeah.
Because the home team does not, those fans do not get an opportunity to get into the game. They've only been drinking for a couple hours. You know,
they don't do that. What do you mean?
Well, you know,
most of them just don't go to bed on Friday night. So they're on their
they're
hours,
worn out.
Their hours on number 19 and 20 as they walk into the stadium of that, that Friday night. No sleep.
But I mean, just too many times the home team comes out flat at 11 a.m. and the crowd isn't really there to help them. And so that's always to the advantage of the visitor. Now, how the rain will impact it is interesting. You know, LSU has a good offensive line. You would think that they could run the ball in the rain, and because obviously passing gets a little tougher in the rain. And obviously I'm going to pick LSU. I've never picked South Carolina to win anything. But
can't start now.
I was a little surprised Game Day picked that, you know. I thought they might pick Madison, Wisconsin, because that's not a place they go to very – of course, they don't go to Columbia, South Carolina very often either. So, I don't know. I guess they just thought that, you know, when it's a tie – the tie goes to the SEC, and they went to the SEC game, home game, you know?
I think they were the biggest thing they were trying to decide on was the South Carolina-Kentucky game last week to see who the winner of that was, because if Kentucky would have come out on top, then it would have gone to Lexington for the Georgia-Kentucky game, but instead
that's
Georgia
a great point.
And South Carolina. It's a 94% chance of rain tomorrow in Columbia, South Carolina. Mm. So, I mean, and I was talking about this with Jacob. LSU, I believe, is the only SEC football team without a rushing touchdown this year. And so
really?
You would think that the weather could possibly favor the Gamecocks in that one, just because Nussmeier and that Brian Kelly offense wants to use that air raid. They have so many skill weapons on the outside, but it draws a little bit more back to possibly a low-scoring game to where a simple fumble or something could make a big impact.
No, you're right. When it's inclement weather, that benefits the less talented team. And so, yeah, so you got the weather benefiting the less talented team, the home team, South Carolina, but the 11 a.m. kick favors LSU. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens over there in Columbia early on. There's a couple of interesting good games early on.
There really are. There's a bunch of them. That one is with our fan pick on the SEC Football Challenge. 87% are liking LSU, and unfortunately, I think both of us, I think we're liking that as well. I think it's going to be a dogfight into the fourth quarter, but I'll take LSU right at that cover. I'll take them by a touchdown, so I guess if it's 7.5, I'll take South Carolina to cover.
Yeah, the 7.5 makes me a little bit nervous. If it was 6.5 or 7, I'd feel a little bit better, but I do think they'll cover.
Another 87% exactly. With Alabama traveling up to Wisconsin, we talked about it. Texas went up north to Michigan and just absolutely planted their flag in the Big House. Does Wisconsin find a way to keep this close, or does Alabama and Kalen DeBoer's offense run away with it?
You know, this is an interesting game because Alabama hasn't really looked great. They had to scramble, you know, late to beat South Florida at home. And so, and the first game, they didn't play anybody, so I don't know how much you factor that. But I don't know. So, I mean, I think the jury's a little out there. Again, the 11 a.m. kick, I think, helps them a little bit because Madison is a very hard place to play at night or even late afternoon. I mean, that fan base is crazy. That's where they do the jump around and
it
stuff,
is.
Right? Yeah, so, I mean, but we'll see. You know, will Wisconsin have enough offense? That's what it comes down to. You know, I don't think they will. I think Alabama wins, but I see the it shows the spread 16.5. Is that what you have?
It is, yes.
Yeah. I'd be tempted to take Wisconsin and the points.
It's one of those.
Because I don't know. I think Alabama wins by 10 or 14, but I don't know if they cover
enough for Wisconsin to use the time of possession and Alabama to feel like they're doing just enough to get out of Madison and come back home. We'll continue this conversation and we'll move towards Auburn football, as there have been some news. Again, you've probably heard the reports, but we'll dive a little deeper into it as Auburn and New Mexico take off in just a little over 24 hours, 27 hours exactly before kickoff. But we'll talk about all that and more when we come back.
Look at you doing math.
There we go, big time. That's what you got to do here while you're talking. But we'll talk about all of that and more when we come back on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes to go here on the Friday edition of On the Line as the wind begins to pick up. Man, it looks like it's more and more. The rain is getting closer and closer by the minute. Hoping that it stays off as the Lee Scott Warriors take on Beulah at home here just about 5 minutes from the station. So I'm in a press box, so I guess I'm okay either way. But I'd love to call a dry game and have everything work out. You can save it for later tonight or it's early tomorrow morning. Christian Griffin and Steve Witten here with you in the Auburn Network studio.
Hey,
a big thank you to Jacob Goetz for spending some time with us as he was making his drive up to Enterprise, about a three and a half hour drive. So not a place I'd rather be driving on Friday night than down to Enterprise.
Yeah. Well, it's about three. Yeah. And so that's who Jacob Goetz is. I heard the return, you know, you're on the line with Jacob Goetz.
Right. And
I'm like, I don't see Jacob Goetz, you know. No, just kidding. But that's a big game tonight, man. Enterprise ranked second. Auburn High ranked fourth. I don't know why they have Enterprise above Auburn.
I asked the same question to Jacob.
We'll find out. We'll find out. Enterprise has a good team, no doubt. No doubt about that.
I think he said there's four power four guys on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, yeah. They are good, no doubt about it. But I think we're a little bit better. Obviously, them playing at home, we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, for you tonight, at least, Scott, against Beulah, I just, you know, I don't want the kids to have to play in a downpour, yeah. You know. I want it to be a good game, a fair game, nobody get hurt. And so hopefully the rain will hold off.
Much like the South Carolina LSU game, I mean, again, Lee Scott is a power run the football team. They want to run it down your throat, use a little bit of eye candy every now and then to get guys out in space, but they want to run the football. They want to use that time of possession. So I guess if it does choose to rain, think that it would favor the Warriors. That being said, I'd want to favor the Warriors regardless and see them be able to throw the ball down the field as well. But a big-time matchup of unbeatens, 3-0 Lee Scott, who just defeated Childersburg last Friday night. And I talked about it with Coach Daniel in the pregame interview that you can hear when you tune in at 6:30 on AU 100, 100.3 FM, to where it feels like every single time this team takes the field, they're either a part or they make history. And they did it again with their first ever region game in the AHSAA, dominating the Childersburg Tigers 49-14. And it was such a good response from 2 weeks ago with a 21-12 win at Lochapoka, where the offense didn't play very well. The defense and the special teams played absolutely out of their mind. And so it was a tough week of practice, but a great week of practice, Coach Daniel said. Or in between those 2 weeks, and then you saw the offense really move the ball down the field against Childersburg, and you're really hoping you can do so again tonight. Two really, really good coach teams. And again, 3-0, 1-0 in the region. I am very, very excited for tonight.
No, you should be. I mean, you're going to have a lot of firsts this year because Lee Scott
it is. That's
is going to play a lot of teams for the very first time.
And that's one of the toughest things, and Coach Daniel and I talk about it kind of comically, and I'm bringing up, all right, so – we're going in blind, right? We don't know anything about him. And he's like, yeah, pretty much. I mean, you have right. 3 or 4 weeks of word of mouth talk, or maybe a little bit here and there of whatever you were able to find. But
again, I love it. I'm so glad that they went, you know, to the public school route, the AHSAA, and playing at the 3A level. You know, they're going to play teams closer to home, Beulah and Beauregard, and of course, Lochapoka is not 3A, but, you know, it allows them to do that. And so I think it's wonderful. All the games are going to be closer. Shoot, B.B. Comer, Childersburg, those are only an hour away. So, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's a great move. And, fired up for the Warriors tonight.
I think it's a great move, too, having everybody a little closer to home. I'm enjoying the little 30, 45-minute road trips.
We're not playing teams that nobody around here has ever heard of that are 3 hours away. You know?
It puts a little more into every game as well because, again, even just Lochapoka, only a town over, it feels like there's that much more at stake even when you're playing a 3A versus a 1A team. Like, it puts that much more at stake. Warriors are at home. Tonight, we head to Randolph County next week, which, again, is only an hour and 10 minutes, so definitely not too far. And then finally, a bye week, and four of the five games remaining are at home. The only game on the road to the Glenwood Gators, but a really nice home stretch. It is very, very nice.
Well, cool. Is there a game tomorrow in Auburn?
Is there? I don't know. We haven't heard, any sort of news about anything dropping. Just kidding. There's have been plenty of news. My phone's been blowing up the entire time. I'm sure Jacob's is as well, as he is on the drive. So good thing he's not looking at it.
You
hand the phone off to Jack Hutton. He can read all of the messages. But
I don't know. He may not want Jack to.
That's very fair. That is very, very fair. Yeah. But it has been reported. Again, the words reported and slated were the words that Justin Hogenson used to report.
Has it been corroborated by anybody else? I don't know if it has.
It has not. If anything, it has been piggybacked off of by saying.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see. I mean, he's going to turn out to be a great investigative reporter if it's true. We'll see. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Hank in a game like this. let him get his feet under him and find out what we're dealing with before we play Arkansas and Oklahoma. The downside is, you know, what if he's not good? And then you go back to Peyton, and Peyton, you know, I don't know. It's a tough call. I'm glad I'm not in Coach Freeze's shoes, although I would have a lot more money if I was.
That's what we've talked about as well, of how nice it is that we're able to just react to the decisions rather than to full-on make the decisions. And it's a really good point you brought up. It's been a question that Jacob and I have talked about throughout the week on the show of, okay, say that you make the switch to Hank Brown, which it does say now that a source confirmed to ESPN's Pete Thamel. So an ESPN article has now come out rather than just a bunch of local ones as well. So it feels like everything is becoming more serious. But again, Auburn has not made an official announcement.
And they won't.
At least that I've seen. No, they definitely won't. You'll have to wait and see if 15 runs on the field. But again, a really good point you brought up of, okay, you go Hank Brown and say he struggles mightily in the first half. Then all of a sudden it's, okay, we're right back to square one, hopeful that Thorne would be able to come out.
Yeah.
And
hey, Peyton, I know we gave up on you, but we want to try you again.
I know the fan base was louder than ever when Hank's name got the start, but he didn't play very well, so we're going to have to hand it back over to you, but everything is forgiven, right? Everything is perfectly fine. We're 0-0. We're making
great.
The first game. We put all of our faith in you. You're going to do great.
It's a tough deal, man. Either way, like I say, but it definitely makes this game more interesting, a non-conference game more interesting. The New Mexico Lobos. By the way, I love that nickname,
yeah.
Lobos. I love any nickname that's indigenous to that area, you know?
Yeah.
The Florida Gators and the Michigan Wolverines and the Wisconsin Badgers. I mean, I love all that, you know? No offense. Obviously, my Clemson team and Auburn are both Tigers, along with 80 other schools. But I love the ones that are unique, and they're, you know, indigenous to that area. I assume we have Lobos. We have wolves running around New Mexico. I would think so.
Hopefully so. If not, I can ask somebody and we'll get confirmation around them.
Yeah, get somebody on the phone at New Mexico. But, looking at this game, and Jacob alluded to it a little bit, and they played pretty well against Arizona. They were only down 3 at the half. And, you know, the offense had 470 yards and 39 points against Arizona. That is not shabby. And their quarterback, their sophomore quarterback, Devin Dampierre, he's very dangerous with both his arm and his legs. So, you know, I think Coach Durkin has his hands full with him tomorrow. And even in the first game, they had, you know, 324 yards and 31 points. And in that game, their defense just completely collapsed against Montana State. They were up 17 going to the fourth quarter, and then you give up 21 in the fourth quarter, and not sure how that happened. So their defense is clearly not very good. They gave up 567 yards to Montana State. They give up 627 yards and 61 points to Arizona.
Jeez.
A lot of that in the second half. But that's a lot of yards. And so, clearly their defense is not that good. But I think their offense is good. And so we'll see, you know. Our offense should be able to have some success tomorrow, regardless of who the quarterback is. We should be able to run the ball. Their rush defense isn't great. But their quarterback can make some things happen. And so I think they're going to put up some points, you know. Surely we can outscore them, I hope, with our offense and the way their defense is.
New Mexico is coming off a bye week as well. So they've had
two weeks to
prepare for this game. They've had 2 weeks to get everybody back healthy. And Auburn,
this is their
side
Super
of things,
Bowl.
It very well could be. And on the injury side of things, there are still no for sure injury reports on Cam Coleman. The last that we heard is questionable or unlikely, but nothing has been confirmed on that side of things. And I know that's a point that they're trying to make in college football, is where you have to have guys like the day before listed as whether they're going to play or not. You can't have the "he might play." We'll keep it as in our back pocket as a strategy to see if they run out onto the field. But I think that's a big underlying key. Again, the fact that the Lobos are coming off a bye week, and despite having one of the worst pass defenses in the country, you couldn't have a better task for them than a team that is really struggling on the offensive side of the football, especially throwing the ball in the air. And now what it looks like it's going to be, again, reported and slated, that you're going to get a guy making his first career start.
Yeah, and I tell you, if Cam's not 90 or 100%, I don't want him to play.
No, for sure.
Because we're going to need him against Arkansas and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And look, the other receivers showed enough, I think, in those first two games that we would be okay against New Mexico without Cam. I don't think we would be as okay without Cam against Arkansas and Oklahoma. Right. So I hope they do rest him if he is not 90 or 100%. But we'll see, yeah. And, you know, and Auburn's defense, you know, look, against Cal, we gave up 334 yards and 21 points. That's good, not great. But a lot of times that's good enough to win the game if your offense can be good. And they weren't, you know, with the 286 yards, 14 points, 5 turnovers. And, you know, a result of those turnovers was that Cal ran – you know, good bit more plays. They ran 12 more plays than Auburn, and they possessed the ball 10 more minutes than Auburn did. And that's because, you know, again, early in the possession, you throw an interception and you give it back, right back to them.
And it's such a key topic of conversation before we get to our final break here. But so many of these teams, especially on the road, we saw it with Boston College at Florida State. That's the one that really, really stands out. But a bunch of these smaller football programs are going into the bigger places and trying to control the time of possession. Now with the clock not stopping on first downs inside of 10 minutes or continuing to run when players go out of bounds up until a certain amount of time, continuing to eat clock and limit the amount of possessions that the other team's offense gets. Jacob, you said it great with Boston College, says that the offense will be their best defense, keeping the other team's offense off the field. So you'd be surprised if you didn't see that again here with New Mexico.
Absolutely. And as we head into break, look, we need some calls because I told Jacob that I would get more calls than he does normally.
Well,
so
there we go. Well, then we got to get
some calls.
We do have a blinking light here.
Give the number.
334-321-1390. We will get to the phone lines quickly before we wrap up when we come back on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
As we wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line, let's get to the phone lines real quick. Anthony, what's on your mind? We actually might have lost him. I'm not hearing you. I believe. Sorry about that, Anthony, if you're listening. I don't know if the phone signal is shut off or anything, but we will have to get back to you on another time. But Christian Griffin and
Where'd
Steve Witten here with you.
Where'd he go?
You scared him off. You said that you were going to get more calls than
Anthony.
Jacob.
Hey, that still counts, though.
I was going to say, it still counts as one. So that's a tally in the W column for
that's
Mr.
One.
Steve
Phone
Witten.
Line's open. Come on, we got about 5 minutes. We got time. Come on.
334-321-1390. Just get the Y for or somebody to call just so that way you can get another tally.
I wonder what Anthony was going to – oh, my wife's not going to help me. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. I'll step away and I'll call real fast.
People that know she's not helping. But what do you think Anthony was calling about?
Oh, man. I mean, that's got to be. I mean, the Hank news, I feel like, is the biggest thing, is it continues to feel more and more true. You haven't heard anything in the direction or against the direction from Auburn, which almost gives the answer of you feel like that is the answer, because if it was not, Auburn would have gone out and said something.
You think so, yeah.
And it would have said, like, this is not true. Peyton is still the guy. But silence in this case almost gives you that answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, it could be gamesmanship as well. But, right. You know, I don't know why you would do a lot of gamesmanship against, you know, a non-conference opponent, though, you know.
Just scaring Arkansas for next week, right?
Ooh, maybe. Hey, that's a team, too, that, I mean, I left for dead. But they look pretty dang good against Oklahoma State.
They did. Taylen Green has a lot of wheels that you don't necessarily expect to see. And you feel like that's almost a game that Arkansas felt like they lost. Well, I guess they did lose it, but Oklahoma didn't necessarily win the game. It felt like Arkansas lost themselves the game.
You know, I watched a good bit of that game, and I felt like it was pretty evenly played, actually. I mean, there were times where you felt like Oklahoma State was going to pull away, and then Arkansas, and then Oklahoma State was back and forth. So, no, I think that's two good football teams. I think Oklahoma State is pretty good, and but yeah, I had we do those rankings, the ESPN 106.7 rankings with Uncle T-Bone handles all that, and you got Doug Amos and Jacob and Ben and Dan.
There's a name you're.
I don't know why you're not.
Yeah, you know, just late to the party. I guess wasn't cool enough, which understandable, but
well. I don't know how I'm cooler than you, but but they wanted me in it. But, no, I put Oak State up pretty good, pretty high, I think around like 13, 14, somewhere in there.
Ollie Gordon, their running back behind the most experienced offensive line in the country. They're going to continue to feed him throughout the year. I don't know how many carries he got in week two against Arkansas because I know they handled the run relatively well, at least in the first half. But I think he had 28 carries in the first game for $160 or something around there. So they're going to continue to feed him on the offensive side of the football.
You know another game I can't wait to see tomorrow that I think is going to be pretty good? Memphis and Florida State.
Yeah. That's Memphis a game we haven't talked about at
Florida
at all.
State.
That could be a very, very good game as Memphis tries to plead their case.
They have a good team.
And they have a very good case. That was my prediction for that team to be the Group of Five selection into the playoffs. And
right.
So that's I guess step number three, if you will, for the Memphis Tigers. A very, very solid football team.
No doubt. Everybody felt like it was them or Boise State that was going to be the Group of Five team. And I tell you, Boise looks good too. But,
they do.
But Memphis, that'll be interesting because – that's another team that I hate, by the way, is Florida State. So
I don't know why.
I'm a little biased, but I would love to see them go 0-3.
That would be
especially with DJ at the quarterback position. You know?
Following, I mean, just after the way that last year ended for Florida State, and then you have all the expectations for this year, you go out and get DJU Uiagalelei from the transfer portal.
I could have told you how that was gonna go.
Uiagalelei?
Uiagalelei. No, not that part, but I saw him play for 2 years.
I thought you were talking about the way I was going to say
his name. I knew he wasn't going to play well. That's why when everybody had him, you know, ranked 10th or whatever, I was like, no, that's not going to happen.
Again, with Clemson, you saw it firsthand and then at Oregon State.
Unfortunately.
Which credit to Dabo for going 10-2 with DJ. At his roster. That's the best coaching job that Dabo's ever done.
Miracle. Well, the defense was really,
that's
really
good. That's
very fair. but that was a miracle.
But,
you know, and look, that season, I think it was that season, where if they beat South Carolina at home, they make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, you know, DJ screwed it up, and then they let Cade Klubnik play in the ACC playoff game.
Well, there we go.
So there you go.
Mr. Steve, thank you so much for coming on.
All right.
And filling some time. Or Mr. New York Strip, I guess we should.
There you go.
We'll go with.
Thanks for calling, Anthony. Appreciate it.
He got the tally for him, so that's good enough for him. A big thank you to Mr. Lee Sterling and Jacob Goins as well, filling some time in our number one. Wings 94-3, the destination for the Auburn High Tigers versus Enterprise. 100.3 FM, AU100, the Radio Alabama app, where you'll need to go to listen to myself and Rhett Crome and Lee Scott Warrior Football. That's the place to be right there. The Radio Alabama app, you can catch up with both of them. But until next time, until Monday, where Jacob Goins and Uncle T-Bone are back in the station, stay safe, and we'll talk to y'all later.